This is 2SER News. It is 9 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Tara Hayes. The federal government is proposing to water down its foreign interference bills after Labor said it would not support them without key changes. The opposition argued the legislation wasn't offering enough protections after media players said journalists could have been jailed for up to 15 years for just doing their jobs during the recent Cabinet Files saga. Attorney General Christian Porter has told the ABC the government is prepared to make some changes that would strengthen defences for journalists, but cannot make any blanket exceptions.
What I'm looking to do is to more tightly define the two trigger circumstances that would apply to Commonwealth officers who are breaching the law, and we've given instructions to separate out the offence that would apply to non-Commonwealth officers, so journalists, lobbyists, academics.
Barnaby Joyce has opened up about the breakdown of his marriage, describing it as the greatest failure in his life and one he is incredibly sorry for. Following revelations he had left his wife and four children for a younger former staff member who is now pregnant, the Deputy Prime Minister has told the ABC the entire affair had been incredibly painful, saying he was hurt the matter had been brought into the public domain. Mr. Joyce says he is also concerned that we are heading down the path of the US politics, where people's private lives become public. The White House Chief of Staff, John Kelly, says Donald Trump is unlikely to extend the work permit for the so-called Dreamers. More from the BBC's David Willis.
President Trump has linked protecting the Dreamers from deportation, something the Democrats want to see, with measures such as a wall along America's southern border with Mexico, which they object to. Today, the president tweeted saying that if the Democrats didn't approve that package of immigration reform measures, they just wanted open borders and weren't serious about the fate of the Dreamers. Should Congress fail to approve legislation by the March deadline, work permits and legal protections for the Dreamers will start to expire.
A trip in an ambulance could soon be free, as a dispute over an $80 fee deteriorates into threats of industrial action. 2SER's Jeff Field reports.
The state government is forcing 3,500 paramedics to get a mandatory working with children check by April 1st. That check costs $80 and must be paid by each individual staff member. The Australian Paramedics Association says unless the state government picks up the bill, it's likely their members will no longer charge patients to get into an ambulance. There's also threats of boycotting sporting events like horse race meetings, which require a paramedic to be on standby. Jeff Field, 2SER News.
Meanwhile, rail workers have been offered a new pay package worth more than 4% each year. 2 weeks after the rail, tram and bus union called off the strike that was set to cost Sydney $100 million, Transport for New South Wales have offered the workers a new package, which includes an annual pay increase of 3%, $1,000 bonuses, extended free travel and improved conditions. A mould scandal that put lives at risk and made staff sick at the Nauru Immigration Detention Centre also affected the now mothballed facility at Manus Island. Air conditioning caused water damage and mould to grow in the fire-resistant plasterboard walls and ceilings and the magnesium oxide board floors of modular buildings at the staff accommodation, kitchen and mess hall on Nauru, according to a 15-month investigation by AAP. And a boy remains in a Sydney hospital after being mauled by a dog at Panania. Police are looking for the dog and its owner.
2SER weather.
Becoming hot and windy with tops of 27 for the coast, 37 in our west. Right now it's 21 degrees in the city, 20 at Penrith, 23 at Wollongong and 18 at Katoomba. I'm Tara Hayes and that's the latest 2SER news on 107.3.
Thanks very much, Tara, and it's time now for The Daily. Good morning and welcome to The Daily. I'm Sam Barron, and on today's show, I'll be bringing you the latest news, views, and music to get you through the day. This morning, we're going to be finding out what's happened to communal gaming experiences of the kind seen in the popular show Stranger Things. Kids huddled around video arcades and hanging out. What has happened to that kind of communal experience? And we'll also be finding out how to locate an unmarked grave, fun for the whole family. How does geophysics help solve crimes? On 2SER, this is Field Music on The Daily.
Once you start, you never stop. You were once the golden boy of the golden days. Everybody wanted a piece of you. Turning on the city lights like magic.
Amazing talent.
Live radio broadcasts.
Fantastic events.
You're on 2SER.
Bye.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings with Calling God on The Daily. I'm Sam, and just a moment, we're going to be learning a bit more about what happened to communal video game experiences when people gathered around watching each other play video games and just hung out. Not even if they necessarily wanted to be involved, but they just wanted to spend some time together. Nowadays, it's a lot easier with things like VR to just be stuck in your own solitary little world. We'll be learning about the future of communal gaming experiences after this track from the James Hunter 6, Don't Let Pride Take You for a Ride.
Maybe she's hurt your feelings, but once you come down from the ceiling, you may find it don't make no never mind. If you still love her so, it wouldn't hurt just to let her know. So don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let your pride take you for a ride. Maybe she didn't mean it, but don't cut out before you see it, before you're out the door to leave her behind. Take the time to stop and check, you ain't blinded by self-respect. So don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let your pride take you for a ride. There's nothing worse, it's a natural fact, when you're stranded with no road back. So be sure before you decide. Maybe sometimes you doubt her, but just try living without her. Another love like her you'll never find. Your prospects ain't so hot when independence is all you've got. So don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let it, don't let your pride take you for a ride. Don't let your pride take you for a ride.
Don't Let Pride Take You for a Ride. That's the sound of the James Hunter 6, our feature album on 2SER. Whatever it takes, you can pick it up on Breakfast or Drive if you're interested in that funky sound. It's about a quarter past nine on the daily. And have you ever sat down with a friend to just watch them play a video game and hang out? Well, with virtual reality taking hold, communal game experiences are in decline, with virtual worlds and gaming tending to be very lonely spaces right now in the modern landscape. So what's happened to communal video gaming experiences? Well, I'm joined now by Dr. Michael Cowling, a senior lecturer in educational technology at CQ University Brisbane. Thank you for joining us this morning, Michael.
Not a problem, Sam. Glad to be here.
So what actually makes a video game experience communal?
Well, yeah, look, it's I tend to cast my mind back to the 80s, you know, where we're playing video games in arcades, and you've got one kid that's sticking the 20-cent pieces or the quarters, if you're an American, into the machine, and everybody else is watching him play the game. It's a single-player game, but it's a communal experience. Everyone's cheering him on, everyone gets upset if he loses a life, and it's very much that shared experience. And we've lost that a little bit with modern gaming, and in particular with the current round of virtual reality style gaming like PlayStation VR, for example. It's a very, very solitary experience. You put on the headset and you disappear into an entirely different world. And everyone that's sitting outside on the couch, they can't really see anything that's going on. They can see something on the TV, but they're definitely not experiencing what you're experiencing. And you can't see that they're experiencing it either. You're lost in that virtual world.
So if we take a step back, what actually motivates people to want to sit around and watch other people play? Because I know I've done it myself, but why do we even enjoy this? Why is this something that we like?
I mean, I think you probably need to draw an analogy to sports. I mean, why do people enjoy watching soccer or basketball or baseball or any other sport? I think it's because we appreciate the skill. involved in that person playing the game. And we like to cheer on their success, and we like to lament their failures, you know, and that's certainly true if you're watching somebody play a football game. And so why is it not also true if you're watching somebody play a video game? You can enjoy as a spectator without necessarily being a part of the game.
So you said that communal video game experiences are sort of, you know, have declined since that time, but things like esports, where people gather in, you know, huge arenas to watch people play video games, is that a sort of resurgence of this phenomenon?
I certainly do see that. That's right. If you map it out, you think about the kids in the arcade in the 80s, and then you think about people getting individual consoles and having a more individual experience, so, or an online multiplayer experience where you're playing with other people, but they're also players, right? You're all working together in an online experience. And then we've got this sort of, as you said, this upward trend again of esports over the last few years, where people have gone, well, even if it is a single-player game, even if it's a single person playing, I'm going to enjoy being a spectator of that game. And esports is a massive industry. In fact, it's predicted to be a $1 billion industry this year in 2018.
Now, I know my mum spent a lot of time telling me how antisocial video games are. And with virtual reality, as you said, it's a pretty solitary space right now. Why is it so isolating?
I think it's just the way we use the technology. It's the way we think about the technology. So, and that's not unsurprising, right? The first thing you want to think about it with virtual reality is what the experience is like for the player. So you're going to build this really effective experience for the player where they put on the goggles and they put on the headset and they're lost in this virtual world. And again, on PSVR, you see great experiences where you get scared by the ghost or whatever, yeah. You know, these great immersive experiences. But that by its very nature hides somebody away. And I think we can say, okay, now we've got this experience. How do we bring the spectator back in and make it so that it is again a communal experience, that when you put on the headset, you don't disappear, but you still realize that your friends are there. Your friends still have the opportunity to see you, and you turn it back into that communal experience.
Michael, are there examples of interactive games that are pushing towards this, that have seen this need and are trying to fill it?
I think one of the ways that you can do it, of course, is you can have everybody wear an individual headset. So you can have a multi-user mixed reality experience where each person is wearing a headset and they're all involved in the game. But the thing for me is that's often represented as a series of players all playing together. And I think there's also room for a player-spectator dynamic. And we haven't really seen that yet. Microsoft does a little bit with Microsoft HoloLens. They have what's called a HoloLens spectator view, which is where you can see what's happening inside one person's HoloLens from a third-person perspective. But it's a little bit of a hack. It involves a HoloLens and a DSLR and a computer that kind of combines it all together and then produces this third-person image. I think there's still a lot of room for us to maybe have a more refined spectator experience.
I'd like to know if you've had have you had any communal gaming experiences recently yourself that you've enjoyed, Michael?
I guess the ones that I think of is the things that I have with my kids. It's not that surprising, right?
Is Nintendo good for communal gaming experiences then, I guess, in that sense? Because they tend to market, you know, sort of to all ages and everyone can kind of get involved.
That's right. It's certainly Nintendo for a long time. I mean, I think for as long back as we can remember has pushed that communal gaming experience. Look at the way that they marketed the Wii.
Yeah.
You know, and to a certain extent the Wii U, but let's not talk too much about the Wii U, but, you know, which was very much a communal experience, whereas PlayStation and Microsoft were pushing graphics and pushing these amazing realistic experience. Nintendo was saying, well, why don't you all get together with the controllers and sit on the couch as a group of people and play tennis or Mario Kart? So I think they support that communal experience much more. And when I talk about doing it with my kids, I actually play old-fashioned nostalgic console games with my kids, things like the original Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And they love those kinds of games, and there is a great opportunity to have a communal experience with them there because I remember the game from when I was a kid. And I love the fact that they also enjoy the game, even though it's got 8-bit graphics from 30 years ago, they still enjoy playing it.
Well, let's hope those experiences are coming back into style. Thank you very much, Michael, for joining us this morning.
Not a problem at all. Great to be here.
And that was Dr. Michael Cowling, a senior lecturer in educational technology at CQ University in Brisbane, talking about communal gaming experiences and how sharing it is just a lot more fun and how we kind of moved away from it, but we may be moving back towards it now as we move into the future with VR. It's about 20 past 9 on 2SER. We're going to be learning about the fun sport of bike polo, but for now, this is Niels Fromm with Forever Changeless. I'm Sam Barron. Hope your morning's going very well. Here's a relaxing track for you.
It's raw, it's powerful, it's jam-packed with soul. It's Whatever It Takes by the James Hunter Six, our feature album on 2SER. From working on the railways to busking in London, James Hunter has seen it all. But with the legendary Daptone Records backing him, the talent of James Hunter is fully unleashed. Win copies of Whatever It Takes on Breakfast, Drive and Static. Whatever It Takes by the James Hunter Six, our feature album on 2SER 107.3.
up all night with the war on drugs on 2SER. This is The Daily, and I am now joined for the news.
I'm Mark Somikos with the 2SER news headlines. Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce has described the breakdown of his marriage as the greatest failure in his life. He told 7:30 he's incredibly sorry, but denied any suggestions that he was being hypocritical about gay marriage. Whistleblowers and journalists who reveal national secrets won't face severe jail terms after the government decided to scale back controversial spying laws. But the proposed laws will now be rewritten to protect journalists and their sources after an outcry by media organisations. And also making news today, police, surf lifesavers and a rescue helicopter are searching a notorious northern New South Wales beach after a man was swept out to sea. And the world's most powerful rocket, SpaceX's Falcon Heavy, is roaring through space on its debut test flight from Florida launch site in another milestone for billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk's private rocket service. And with sports, Melbourne have hosed down claims Cameron Munster's future at the NRL premiers is on thin ice, and Australian star Ben Simmons has scored 15 points and had a game-high 8 assists in the Philadelphia 76ers NBA win over Washington. And more in weather, becoming hot and windy with tops of 7 from the coast and 37 in our west. Right now it's 24 degrees in the city. I'm Mark Stomikos, and that's our latest 2SER news on 107.3.
Thanks very much, Marcus. And there's more news at 10. And if you haven't seen the launch of the SpaceX rocket ship, you should definitely take a look. It is a really cool launch. You can find the video all over the internet. And quickly turning to the traffic in Moore Park, there are blacked out traffic lights at Anzac Parade at Allison Road. Traffic affected in all directions. And otherwise, roads are looking fairly clear. You're back on The Daily with me, Sam Barron. It's about 9:30, and we're going to learn about bike polo in a moment. Another one of those compound sports where you're like, I don't know, is it just people on bikes with croquet mallets? Well, we will learn a little bit more about that in just a moment. But to take you there, it's King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard with Muddy Water from their fantastically titled album, Gumboot Soup. Shut up.
continue on with the music.
Wind up the volume.
Let's dance.
You're on 107.3. This is 2SCR.
Then it's an alien with extra ability. Pushed time to next century. Somewhere his craft lost control. Guess where he stopped for petrol. Wishing America happy. Wishing America free. Benz on alien passing by. Wishing everyone joke about shooting stars and spoke like a true bard. Said don't play with songs, music is not marked as fierce toy tear joys. Wishing Americana happy. Wishing Americana.
Daily. This is the wonderful sound of Benjamin Clementine, English artist, poet, and musician, sharing the sound of Jupiter. That's right, one of our mighty planets, come to you on 2SER. It's about 20 minutes to 10 on 2SER. We're going to be learning about the noble sport. Well, I assume it's noble. I actually don't know how it works, but we're going to find out. Bike polo. That's right. Take polo. Take out the horses, put in the bikes. How does it work? I don't know. Let's find out. This is 2SCR with Pond, Fire in the Water.
Oh, man.
Fire in the Water from the group Pond, who might be putting themselves at risk with that one. They can indeed be set alight here on 2SER, listening to The Daily. I'm Sam Barron with you this morning, and consider the sport of polo. You might be imagining people on horseback gallivanting wildly around English country estates, but take that image and transplant it to the concrete courts of Sydney and replace the horses with bikes. That's right, it's bike polo. Joined now by Shay Sparks from Sydney Bike Polo to give the rundown on this no doubt noble and aristocratic sport. Thank you for joining us this morning, Shay.
Thank you.
So can you paint a picture of the bike polo knights on their steeds?
A bike polo person on their steed, did you say?
Yes. Can you paint us a picture of the bike polo players as they go at it? How does it work?
So it's pretty easy to understand. It runs like 3-on-3, three players on each side. Games go for about 12 to 15 minutes, and it kind of looks like ice hockey in a way that the ball moves around, similar to a puck.
So what is each player holding? What do they look like? They're on a bicycle. How do you bicycle and also hit a polo ball?
Yeah, so you're usually riding around with one hand most of the time. So you've got one hand on your brake and one hand with a polo mallet in the other one.
Sounds like it's a pretty dangerous sport. Do people fall over a lot?
Oh, sure. I mean, like, you do fall over like as in any sport, but it's not too dangerous depending on how you play. You can play fairly safely.
Now, I know in water polo, there's often a lot of, you know, argy-bargy going on underneath the surface. Does bike polo get pretty rough sometimes?
I think the general consensus that we all play pretty fair. In the sport, you are actually allowed to check. There is legal checking, which is fine if it's done safely.
So does anyone regulate this sport? Like, are there referees, or do people just kind of gather around for a pickup game of bike polo?
Yeah, so we play a lot of pickup. I mean, we self-ref, but when we do play tournaments, we have our refs on stand and for most of the games.
We'll get to tournaments in a second, but can you give us an idea of the scale of this? Like, how many people engage in bike polo? Is it just a little club, or are there quite a lot of people around playing it?
Okay, so I didn't know about it at all until I got into it. And then when I found the club in Sydney, there was about, like, you could have 10 to 15 people on a night. But there's more to like 20 to 30 sort of people, or maybe a couple more in Sydney itself. And they're all in pockets in Sydney, in cities all around Australia and all over the world.
Now, you obviously have enough people to organize these tournaments. How many people usually show up to that?
Oh, yeah, you can get above 50 to, I'd say, 50 to 80 people, depending on the tournament. Roughly.
Are there like officially sanctioned arenas where these take place? Are there like, what's the requirements for a bike polo court to be, you know, like a legal place to play?
Okay, so like the places that we play are usually like sort of multi-courts or even basketball courts. Now, the basketball courts that we have in Sydney or the ones that we use are a little smaller than what we prefer, but it's definitely big enough to play a tournament on.
Right. How do you score in bike polo?
Okay, so you score by shooting into the goal, but you shoot with either the flat end or the opened end of the mallet, and that's how you score.
Right, okay. And as you said, like, it's 3-3. Are people just, you know, kind of like stop and turn their bikes around? Like, you know, like it's a basketball court. How do you keep your bike going for that kind of thing? Like, you have to, is there only skilled cyclists? Is there a high skill ceiling on this game?
Oh, like to get into it and to stay, to start it like on the easy nights, you don't need a lot of skill. You just need to be able to ride your bike. Well, you know, like, if you can ride a bike, you can sort of play. But then as you become more competitive in the game, you become more skilled, and you do have to practice to pull off more eloquent moves, let's say.
Well, I'm imagining, with the eloquent moves, I'm imagining, like, people popping wheelies and spinning their bike around, or, like, hopping over the ball as they, like, pass it to a friend. What kind of crazy moves do you get in bike polo? High-level play look like?
Yeah, so you see all of that sort of stuff. The high-level plays are really interesting, but the way that they maneuver their bikes is, say for one, is a pivot is a really fun one, where you grab your front brakes and then you twist over your front wheel you sort of do a 180 on your front wheel, and that can really change up where your direction or where your bike's going really quickly.
So all those years of practicing in the bike ramps around, you know, in the community park have really pay off for bike polo.
Oh yeah, sure.
And then if people want to get involved, how do they get involved in bike polo? How do they find out more about this?
I mean, the easiest way, I guess, is to jump on the Facebook page. I mean, just type in Sydney Bike Polo and you find it. We come down on one of the newbie nights or the introductory night, which is on Wednesday at about 6:30, and that's at Alexandria Park Multicourt.
Now, I assume it's bring your own bike, but do you have any sort of, you know, any other sort of equipment requirements people need to get into this?
So, like, if you want to bring your own bike and ride it, that's fine, but otherwise we have all the equipment you need.
Awesome. All right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Thanks very much, Shay, for filling us in on the sport of bike polo.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That was Shay Sparks from Sydney Bike Polo telling us about a game where six people go out on a court and hit a ball around and try and score goals while pulling off sick bike tricks from the sounds of it, which sounds pretty cool. I really want to go find a video of this, which I'm sure I'll be able to find on the page that Shay mentioned, Sydney Bike Polo. Check it out if you are interested in this very interesting sounding sport. It's about 10 minutes to 10 on 2SER. Gonna have a quick traffic update. Moore Park, the traffic lights are blacked out on Anzac Parade and in West Pymble on Ride Road just past Lady Game Drive. There has been a car breakdown, one of three southbound lanes closed. We'll be learning soon about underground mapping technologies. How do they find unmarked graves? A user's guide. Well, not quite, but we'll learn more about that in a moment. This is Monkey Mark with Yod and Abroad. Same thing, we're up in a yard,
one abroad.
Someone who loves you and needs you.
Right here on 2SER 107.3.
We love listeners.
Mercy from their album Cafe Oblivion. Keep a light on 2SER. And Oh Mercy is actually going to be taking that album on tour in April. If you like the sound of that, they'll be playing all the tracks from that and their previous albums around the country. And it's going to be time for the news in just a moment on 2SER, but we will be learning about underground mapping technologies, how to locate an unmarked grave right after that. So this is right now to take you to the news. It's Mr. Liff and Brass Menaziri with Guiding Light on 2SER.
I do right, my pen can bend from now till then. I can mix errors with a perfect blend, and when you talk about it, it becomes new trend. I travel around the world and I make new friends. The energy from those conversations sends a positive vibe that'll help you mend. Create it on your own and you make it your home. No matter where you are, you know you're never alone. We're right there with you on your darkest night. Consider this melody your guiding light. And alive in a place we can thrive. Did you know your light shines so brightly? I know at first it can be a bit frightening. Exciting nonetheless, cause the stress that used to haunt you seems to have gone to a place so far in this.
It's Mark Snomikos with 2SER News. Whistleblowers and journalists who reveal national secrets won't face severe jail terms after the government decided to scale back controversial spying laws. The Turnbull government last year announced legislation tackling what is said was the growing threat of foreign states trying to influence Australia's political landscape. But the proposed laws will now be rewritten to protect journalists and their sources after an outcry by media organisations. The US Vice President Mike Pence, before heading to South Korea for the opening ceremony of the Winter Olympics, has issued a stern warning.
I'm announcing today that the United States of America will soon unveil the toughest and most aggressive round of economic sanctions on North Korea ever. And we will continue to isolate North Korea until it abandons its nuclear and ballistic missile program once and for all.
It follows as South Korea officials welcome the announcement that Kim Jong-un's sister will attend the Games at Pyeongchang. Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce has described the breakdown of his marriage as the greatest failure in his life. He told 7:30 he is incredibly sorry, but denied any suggestions that he was being hypocritical about gay marriage.
Just because my marriage didn't work out doesn't mean that I disregard what marriages are about. It just means that on that instance, I failed, okay? Be upfront, I failed on that one. But I'm not going to start saying, well, therefore, I'm going to say that just because I failed, I'm going to completely change my views and definition. I don't think anybody walks down the aisle with a view that they think that it's going to come to an end or it's going to finish. You don't. I'm also, and like other people, incredibly hurt that private issues get dragged out into the public arena.
Germany is set to emerge from months of political deadlock after Angela Merkel's Conservatives finally agree a coalition deal with the centre-left Social Democrats. Negotiators have agreed on the division of key ministries, one of the last hurdles towards forming a government. It could end more than 4 months of wrangling since inconclusive elections in September. A boy has been mauled in a savage dog attack at Panania in Sydney's southwest. 2SER's Tara Hayes.
Police say a dog that was being walked on a leash by a man along Dowding Street lashed out at the boy after he went to pat it. The boy is undergoing treatment at Bankstown Hospital for bites to the face. Officers from Bankstown Local Area Command attended but were unable to locate the man and his dog and are calling for eyewitnesses to contact Crime Stoppers. Tara Hayes, 2SER News.
Also making news today, police, surf lifesavers and a rescue helicopter are searching a notorious northern New South Wales beach after a man was swept out to sea. The 25-year-old man was last seen yesterday afternoon about 50 metres from the shore at Fingal Head, where three people have died in the past 2 years. And the world's most powerful rocket, SpaceX's Falcon Heavy, is roaring through space on its debut test flight from Florida launch site in another milestone for billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk's private rocket service.
2SER Sport.
And in 2SER Sport, Glenn Maxwell has played a match-winning knock for Australia in the T2 against England. But according to two former greats, he should have been out earlier in the match after a controversial ruling from the third umpire. Australia's first female international boxing coach hopes more medal opportunities for women could give the country a fighting chance in the upcoming Commonwealth and Olympic Games. Shara Roma says there needs to be more opportunities for women in sport. And Adelaide skipper Taylor Walker will spend 2 weeks in a moon boot as he races against time to be ready for round one of AFL, which starts in 6 weeks' time.
2SER weather.
Becoming hot and windy with the tops of 27 for the coast and 37 in our west. Right now it's 24 degrees in the city, 24 at Penrith, 24 at Wollongong and 19 at Katoomba. I'm Mark Snomikos and that's the latest 2SER news on 107.3.
Thanks very much, Marcus. And taking a quick look at the roads, there are traffic lights blacked out at Moore Park on Anzac Parade, Allison Road. Power failure there affecting traffic all directions. And in West Pymble, a car breakdown on Ride Road has led to one of three southbound lanes closed. Back with me, Sam Barron, for The Daily. Hope that your morning is going very well on this lovely day today. And we're going to be learning about how to locate an unmarked grave. No doubt a skill that you have been longing for all these years, used in forensic investigations. They use geophysics techniques. Learn a bit about those, as well as private healthcare rebates, which opposition leader Bill Shorten has come out against recently. What do they do? What are they for? How do they work? And do they actually do what they're meant to? We'll find out. This is the Daily on 2SER. I'm Sam Barron, and it's about 10:05. Time for a track from Johnny Utah with Gentle Boy.
Gentle, tender and amiable, of a considerate or kindly disposition. Soft and mild rather than hard or severe. Docile and easily managed. Gentle.
New sounding music, so definitely stay tuned. This is your place to be.
107.3
2SER.
Terima kasih.
Ah, yeah, Duba Kay with Abdoulaye Sis on 2SER. This is The Daily. I'm Sam. We'll be learning how to find an unmarked grave in just a couple of minutes here to take you there. It's Psych Slasher from The Salad Boys.
Good looking song.
The truly sublime.
There's always something new to discover.
Here on 2SCR 107.3.
My baby took a powder on one fine September day. My crying grew louder as her footsteps faded away. In her wake, shattered fragments of the smile I used to wear. How long will it take for my poor heart to repair? I made peace with my bookmaker just to turn my luck around. My heart shot out the back way. They're still trying to track her down. My money's gone the same way, and I haven't got a prayer. How long will it take for my poor heart to repair?
Take for heart
no room for your kind. Why don't you try your luck downstairs? How long will it take for my poor heart to repair?
Queer Screen's 25th Mardi Gras Film Festival hits Sydney this February with 15 days of the best new LGBTIQ films from around the globe. With star-studded films, hilarious comedies, moving dramas and inspiring docos, there's something for everyone. So clear your schedule and check the full program at queerscreen.org.au. Queer Screen's Mardi Gras Film Festival, February 15 to March 1. 2SER is a proud media partner of Queer Screen's Mardi Gras Film Festival.
Bells and whistles of Monster Rally there from their flowering jungle. It's Giant Leaves. And it's daily. You can turn to the traffic now. Looking at Moore Park, the traffic lights are still blacked out. If you're on Anzac Parade, I'm very sorry that the traffic has been so terrible with these blacked out traffic lights causing huge problems. And also in Woolaware, there's been a water main that's burst, which has caused a bit of wet conditions on Captain Cook Drive between Illura Road and Trinity Street. Road is closed in both directions over there, so be careful in that region too. It's about 20 past 10. Going to keep continuing with the good vibes and wonderful music. It's Bonnie Prince Billy, not to be confused with Bonnie Prince Charlie from the 1600s in Scotland. This is We Offer from Wolf of the Cosmos. Hope your morning's going very well.
We offer you a lot. Come and see me. Respond. Not if you're lazy, and not if you're blue. Not if you're hazy, and not without shoes. We have so much love for the rich ones, 'cause they have been working really hard. We have so much love for the pretty ones, 'cause that is what makes you what you are. We offer you a not if you're grumpy, and not if you're sad. Not if you're a junkie, and not if you're mad. We have so much love for the rich ones, 'cause they can take care of themselves. We have so much love for the pretty ones, 'cause they define who we are. We offer you a
live, loud and late with Waywards every Friday night above the bank in the heart of Newtown. Find a new fave or the next crop of local legends. This month, catch Sick Chicks, Tupperware Party, Bench Press, Honey Nothing and All My Friends DJs. Tickets available on the door and at the events. Every Friday from 8 p.m. Full info at bankhotel.com.au. The Bank Hotel sponsors 2SCR 107.3.